Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 23. I'm just not finished preaching on the resurrection yet. Book of Luke, chapter 23. Start with verse 50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. Now, in the Jewish custom in that day, they didn't believe in embalming, but the Jewish custom of that day was that when somebody died, they would take these strong, very strong spices and oils and perfumes, and they would soak the body and take strips of material, and they would soak the material in that, and they would wrap the person up real tight. And when Jesus passed away, I believe it's in John that they took the body, I believe it says in John, they took the body and they wrapped him up in John 19, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took the body, and they took 75 pounds of myrrh and aloe, and they anointed the body of Jesus with myrrh and aloe and wrapped it up in cloth. And it was a custom. And then on the next day, Mary and the Mary of James and John and different women had went home and prepared more spices and more oils and more anointing, and was going to come back the next day and anoint the body again. Now, this was not an embalming process. It was just an attempt to try to keep the stench of decay down. They were trying to perfume the rot. And when they returned to the tomb, they was not coming to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, even though he had told them that he was going to rise again. They were coming to try to make something dead smell better. I want everybody to think about that for just a minute. They were just simply trying to make something dead smell better. In the book of John, chapter 11, verse 38-39, Jesus came to where Lazarus was, and you know the story. Jesus come to where Lazarus was, and he cried out, "Take away the stone." And immediately they spoke up and they said, "But it's been 4 days. By now there's a stench." In other words, by now even all the oil and all the spices and everything we put on the body has failed, and the odor of death has overcome the perfume. And by now there is a stench. By now he stinketh. But Jesus said, take the stone away. He was not afraid of the smell of death, and he was not there to add more spice. Amen. Praise God. We still practice that custom today. It's called cologne and perfume. Constantly trying to make something dying smell better. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't get all tight with me. Amen. There's nothing worse than somebody smelling bad and trying to add perfume on top of it. For years, I've lived in an odorless world. I got hit in the back of the head real hard when I was young, and I really didn't realize that I didn't smell anything. I grew up that way, and I lived in an odorless world. And for years, I didn't smell. Until about 14 years ago, I went through this thing where, a crazy thing, where my brain got put in a blender. And, the enemy tried to destroy me, and I lost a lot of motor skills and all kinds of stuff. But God healed me and put all that back together. Amen. I wasn't supposed to ever recover. I wasn't supposed to have, there were certain motor skills I wasn't supposed to have. I would be lame or blind, or I was supposed to be mentally impacted. And some of you saying, well, he missed that one. But but I wasn't supposed to be able to function properly. And yet I've recovered 100%. But not only did I recover from all of that, for whatever reason, God decided to turn my sense of smell back on. I told Sister Betty one day, I said, this world stinks. I said, how have you been dealing with this all these years? Everything has a smell. Where's you at? I mean, you just have to smell all the time. Everything smells. For years, we would go past a skunk that had been hit on the road, and I'd see Sister Betty grab her hair and everything else, trying to cover her nose up, and I'd just look at her, and I'd say, something smell? She'd say, yeah. It was great in foreign countries. She always put perfume in her hair. She would take perfume and spray it in her hair. And when something smelled real bad, I'd see her take her hair and move it over toward her nose. She was trying to cover up something that stunk. And, of course, I was sitting there just happy as I could be because I didn't smell it. But then all of a sudden, the switch got flipped back on, and I started smelling. And my opinion is, now this is just my opinion, this is from 3 Timothy. My opinion is perfume and cologne really don't help that much. I tell Sister Betty all the time, I say, quit putting that stinky stuff on you. It smells awful. Well, some of you women are just getting offended all over here. I tell her, I said, don't wear that stuff. Just don't wear that stuff. You know, because it wears you out. Your nose is always going, you know, you're always smelling this perfume. Besides that, it costs a whole lot. So what? Some of y'all just really off. I mean, I don't know if you'll ever recover from this now. Some of you women's going. I've been around people that if they give me a hug, I smell like that person the rest of the day. And I'm thinking, did you bathe in that? Did you take a shower in it? What was it, you know? And like I said, this is just my opinion. And some of y'all just, every time you come to church, you're gonna think of this. You're going to stay away from me or else come up and spray me or something. I don't know what. But all we're trying to do is we're trying to make something smell better, aren't we? They took the body of Jesus, which he said, in 3 days I'm gonna rise again. That's before the fourth day. In 3 days I'm going to rise again. But just like we would be, they had a hard time grasping that truth, because even though Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, he wasn't there anymore, as far as they knew. And so they didn't feel any hope whatsoever. And they forgot. In a few places, the angels reminded them, and it says, and then they remembered. It's amazing how disappointment erases our memory of faithfulness and goodness of God. It's amazing how something can happen and we forget that last time something happened, God came through for us. We forget how many times God's taken us out, how many times he's raised us up, how many times he's set us free, how many times he's healed us, how many times he's met our needs, how many times a day does he protect you and you don't even know it. And we forget that, and disappointment has a way of taking us back to where we go back to trying to just make something smell better. They were not coming to celebrate a resurrected Savior. They was coming to try to cover the stench of death. In all of our attempts, religious attempts are nothing more than trying to make death smell better. In all the attempts we make, I mean, we've tried every type of formula, we've tried everything we can think of to try to make death smell better. We try to fix it, we try to talk to them, we try to counsel them, we try to change their life. We do everything we can, but if it's death, it's not going to get any better. Nothing could change the situation of Jesus except resurrection. If there wasn't going to be any resurrection, then all the spices and all the myrrh and all the aloe wouldn't do any good. It would wear off. The stench of death would overcome it in just a short time. In just a few days, all of our efforts would have been done away with. It's the same way today. Without faith in God, your efforts are not going to make a difference. It's going to be taken over by the spirit of death. How many times do we try to improve ourselves? Matter of fact, the church has sunk into a desperate attempt of self-help instead of determining that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all that'll help us. We in the days we're living in, we have went through every kind of 5-step, 12-step, 6-step, 10-step. We've sold books to the point of billions of dollars. We've bought books, we've bought tapes, we've bought all kinds of stuff trying to make our lives better. But I got to tell you something, resurrection is all that's going to make you better. And yielding to the power of Jesus Christ through faith is the only answer we can come up with. Anything else is just perfume on death. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." Look at that. There was no answer that would change us. There was no religious system that would help us. There was nothing. The law did not come to fix us. The law came to show us how sick we were. how impossible it was for us to please God without God's help. God instituted the law that says this is what it will take for you to be holy before me. And we failed. Man failed. It says that the law was weak in the flesh. We were incapable of fulfilling the righteous requirements of God to come before him without the covering of Jesus Christ. But then one day Jesus showed up on this earth and he started walking in. Jesus is not afraid of the stench of your failure. He's not afraid of the stench of your sins. He's not afraid of the stench of your situation. He's not afraid that you're the stench of your problems. He says, roll the stone away and let it out. Because you got to roll the stone away and face the stench before you can face the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're going to rise up, you've got to let it stink. As long as people constantly try to cover the stench of their sins, all they'll get done is trying to buy perfume to cover up the stench. But Jesus isn't afraid of it. Mary said, oh, don't roam that stone away. I don't want them to smell the stench of my brother's rotting flesh. I don't want this to be revealed. I don't want this to happen. Jesus said, roll it away. And instead of taking more ointments in, instead of taking more perfume in, instead of trying to cover it up, Jesus just simply cried out, Lazarus, stop stinking and come forth. Hallelujah. When Lazarus come out of that tomb, they had to peel off the garments of death from him, because those garments that used to be perfumed by the attempts of the world now stunk worse than he did. They had to peel off the grave clothes. They had to peel off, oh, it's time for the body of Christ to come out of the grave and peel off the grave clothes and quit trying to cover up the stench and get rid of the stench. Hallelujah. I believe it was Brother Damon talking in the men's meeting yesterday, and he said, stop swatting flies and get rid of the garbage. Amen. If you get rid of the garbage, the flies leave. Yeah, come on. That's just good old Missouri sense. Amen. I saw one the other day, said the mud isn't going to clear up in the creek until you get the pigs out of the creek. Amen. Go on, somebody. It's not about trying to smell good. It's not about trying to look good. It's not about trying to cover things up. It's about rolling the stone away, coming forth and peeling off the grave clothes to where you get rid of the problem in the first place. Jesus Christ has come not to try to help us, not to try to make us feel better. He is not an addition to our life. He is not a perfume. He is a change. He is a resurrection. He is life. Hallelujah. And he'll raise us up out of our death. Praise God. I don't want to make it better. I want to change it. Amen. Praise God. We need change. We need resurrection power. Glory. That's like the medical world today has, because of the power of those who control the medical world, it has become a thing where they just simply treat the symptoms. They just try to make the symptoms better. Why? Because according to them, I'm trying to think of the guy's name that started all this, Rothschild or something like that, I forget who it was. But he said, if you cure a patient, you lose a customer. That's the world's ideology. And not only that, give you a pill and that'll cause even more things, so we can give you another pill to cover up the thing, to fix the things that pill caused. And then you'll give you another pill that'll fix the things that. I talked to a guy the other day that had one problem, started one medication, and now he's up to 15 medications a day, all because of what the first medication was doing to him. It's like a dog chasing its tail. I know some of y'all think I'm fanatical. It don't matter. I am. I believe in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. I've taken medication. Don't freak out on me. I've had to take the stuff. Oh, my goodness. And boy, did it cause problems. Amen. They filled me when I was in the hospital 2 years ago, and they, you know, looked like I was in bad shape. They had, they had bags. They had this tree beside me, this metal tree, and it had more bags hanging on it. I mean, and all of them was, all that stuff was going into my body. They were trying to save my life and trying to, you know, deal with what was causing it. And what's causing the problem, but I got to tell you something. I went in there, them not even expecting me to make it through the first surgery. I was dying. My organs had shut down. My kidneys had failed. I was turning black and purple. It looked like it was a bad situation. And then the first day, they was pumping all that medication through me. I mean, trying to save my life, and thank God it did. It did. It helped a lot. But then they overdid it, and they OD'd me. And I said, I laid there and OD'd right there in the bed. And I remember looking over Sister Betty. I mean, I was out of it anyway. I looked over Sister Betty, and I said, something's wrong. I'm leaving. And just like that, everything went white. And that's the last thing I remember until I started hearing voices, and this nurse was saying, follow my finger. They're trying to get some kind of response out of me. And after they finally figured out that they OD'd me, and so they cut the stuff off, and then they was talking about Narcaning me like a heroin addict. They was going to Narcan me, try to bring me back. The only problem with that is that really brings you out fast, and it's kind of traumatic, and it hurts. Everything hurts. So they decided I was starting to respond, so they let me slowly come out of it. I mean, everything seemed to be against me. But I got to tell you something, the next day I went home from the hospital. Hallelujah. Instead of going into ICU like most people do. Matter of fact, the time I was in there, there was two people walked into that hospital with the same stuff, the sepsis like I had. Two people walked into the hospital and died in 3 days. And I was out in the next day, they let me go and I came home. Hallelujah. A man's efforts can help you to a degree. They can help you to a degree. Listen to me. They can help you to a degree. They can relieve some pain. Oh, but if we really want more than that, we got to go beyond man's efforts, and we got to go to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, because without his resurrection power, I might not have come out of that hospital. With all their efforts, they were helping. They were trying to help me. They were trying to bring me back. They were trying to bring me up. But I got a power. There's a power in the name of Jesus and the prayers of people. God heard the prayers of people, and he touched my body, and he raised me up. He touched my mind and brought it back, and I was able to come home instead of staying in the hospital. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many times that's all we have, and I thank God for the efforts of true medical people. I don't like the pill pushers. I don't like the ones that are just there getting kickbacks off medicine. Amen. There's still some good ones out there, but they're hard to find. Boy, I'm digging myself in a hole. Some of y'all is going to be mad. Never going to come back to this church again. I tell you what, that pastor, it's all right. Praise God. Go somewhere where they'll dope you up. I ain't got no perfume for you. I ain't got old spice. We ain't going to try to cover the stench around here. We're going to jerk the stone back and let us stink until Jesus raises us up and peels the grave clothes off of us. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We're too used to trying to do this ourselves. We're too used to depending on ourselves. Jesus is our help. He is our Savior. He is our healer. He's our restorer. He's our resurrection. There are so many today that are dying needlessly in their sins, dead in trespasses and sins. But he said, you he made alive. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive again, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't want to just get you a better recliner. I want to see you sit in heavenly places. Amen. Praise God. The man laying by the pool waiting for the waters to be stirred, Jesus come along and said, what do you want? That sounds funny for Jesus to ask somebody, what do you want? I mean, it's obvious he needs healing. But it's so important about what we want. Amen. Because that man could have said, well, I really need a nicer bed. This bed isn't very good. I've got to wait for the stirring of the water. You know, he could have said, could you move me just a little bit closer to the pool? So I'll have a better chance. Just improve my life. Or make me feel comfortable in my state. I need you to fluff my pillow so I feel better laying here by this pool, waiting for the water to be stirred. But the resurrection was standing right next to him. Amen. Healing was standing right there next to him. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Some of y'all still trying to process, thinking he's preaching against medicine and doctors. Okay, let's fast forward, get off that. Okay, here we are. He could have asked for a lot of stuff. Jesus said, what is it that you want? There's a lot of things he could have asked for. Jesus said, would you be healed? He said, yeah, but I don't have anybody. You know, get me some people to help me. I don't have anybody. Jesus wasn't planning on making his life more comfortable at the pool of Bethesda. He was planning on him walking away from the pool of Bethesda. Hallelujah. He was planning on him picking up that old stinky bed he'd been laying on and hauling it to the dumpster. Amen. Praise God. It's time to get rid of this thing. Quit trying to make that old mattress smell better you've been laying on and get rid of it. Let's burn that thing. Amen. The blind man, when Jesus said, bring him to me, it says that he jumped up and left his garment. That garment was a symbol of his blindness. That garment was a symbol of his being a beggar. And when Jesus said, bring him to me, he jumped up and threw that thing off. Why? Because he wasn't going to put it back on. He was going to the healer. He was going to the master. He was going to the one that changes our lives. And I got to tell you something today. Jesus wants to change your life from the stench of sin, from the stench of this world. Many of you have been, you, it's, Can I say this? Some of you have the smell of death and sin on you, and it wasn't even you that committed the sin. It's been thrown on you by somebody else. It's been thrown on you by the world. Been thrown on you by the actions of somebody else. But it's left an odor. And you have to deal with that odor every single day of your life. But today I'm going to tell you to come to the washing of water by the word. I'm going to tell you to come to the one that can change that situation and clean that stuff off of you, to clean off of you the sins of others. I believe Brother Casey was talking about the generational curses. Things have been passed down through our families, and we can break that. You don't have to walk under that stuff anymore. It can be broken off of you in Jesus' name. You're a new creation, a brand new man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You don't have to walk in family curses. You don't have to put up with familiar spirits. You don't have to put up with the bondage of somebody else put on you. You have been brought. You've got a brand new father that loves you and a brand new family. You have come to the one that sets you free. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't want God to improve my personality. I want him to take over my personality. Amen. I don't want God just to improve my life. I want him to take over my life. I want him to rule and reign in my life. He is the master of my life. It is not me just trying to get God to help me. It's God helping me and working through me and me yielding to him. I'm trying to hit this from every direction I can to try to help us get this concept that our efforts and the efforts of the world is just a band-aid. But Jesus sets us free. Jesus changes our life. I remember when I was 17 years old, I was raised in church. Thank God I was raised in church. I was raised around, I started my life out around some powerful, anointed people. I started out in the presence of God all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've got some spiritual fathers that were great. But I had to go through the process that everybody else has to go through. And I got disappointed. I decided that I was going to try the world at 16, 17 years old. Can you imagine? I mean, and I decided I'm done with it. And so I just went and tried this other stuff. It did not take me long to get sick of the smell and stench of the world. Hey, man, that pig pen stunk. I tried to go to parties, you know. It's great. Oh, boy, we have a good time. Yeah. I went to them, and I thought, this is the stupidest thing I ever seen in my life. These people are ignorant. I ended up being a babysitter and a caretaker and a driver for them. I mean, it's like, what in the world? Amen. Anytime you have to turn your brain into some stupid, imbecilic attitude or state so that you can think you're having a good time is just ridiculous. Amen. I'd watch them and I'd think, good night. I ought to start video. I need to video this and make them watch it tomorrow. Amen. It's the strangest thing. I'd be in the middle of that stuff and God would show up. Yeah. Presence of God show up right in the middle of it. It's like, really? Yeah. I got my eyes open real fast to the deception, of sin. So one night I came back to Jesus. Amen. Right over there. 17 years old. I've been here a long time. Amen. About 20 years ago. I was 17 years old, and I came and I knelt down and I said, Jesus, listen. I didn't say, Jesus, help me and make me better. No. I knelt down there and I said, take over. In a short time, I saw the ridiculousness of this world. I saw the stupidity of sin. And I saw the dead end road that it was going down. And I said, Jesus, take over my life. I don't want to go this route. Hallelujah. And I mean, he washed me clean. He purified me that night. Baptized me in the Holy Spirit. I rose up a different person. I did not raise up a better person. I rose up a different person. Hallelujah. And when I went back to, that was 2 weeks before my senior year in high school. And when I went back to school, I didn't go back to school trying to be a Christian. Oh, listen to what I'm saying. I did not go back to school trying to be a Christian. I went back to school a changed, redeemed child of God that couldn't hide or cover the change in the power of God in my life. And the first day of school, I ended up preaching the gospel right out in front of the school, telling them that they needed to give their lives to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I wasn't an improved Tim Snyder. I was a changed Tim Snyder. Amen. Matter of fact, a lot of them said, what's wrong with you, Snyder? What's happened to you? And I said, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to serve him the rest of my life. Amen. I got to tell you something. You don't have to act like something that you already are. When Jesus comes in your life, you don't have to try to be a Christian. You are a Christ follower. Hallelujah. You don't have to try to act like you're holy. You are holy. You don't have to try to act like something. You've already become that. Hallelujah. I'll never forget in art class, this young man was destroying his life, making some terrible decisions. And instead of drawing, I turned around to the guy behind me, telling him that, man, you're young and you're destroying your life. You're making terrible decisions. You need to give your life to Christ. You need to give your life. You need to be changed. And the art teacher said, Mr. Snyder, would you like to share with the rest of the class what you're talking about? I stood up and I said, yes, I would. And I just walked right up in front of her desk, right in front of the whole class, and started sharing the word of God with them. Tell them that they needed to give their life to Jesus because they was on a dead-end street. They were messing with something that was going to destroy them, and God would change their life. And I preached right there in the art class. Hallelujah. And the teacher is standing there with eyes about that big. She asked me if I wanted to tell the rest of the class. I said, yes, I would. And so I told the rest of the class. And when I got finished, she said, thank you, Mr. Snyder. Amen. She even gave me a B+ for the day. I got a good grade. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm not talking to you about something to make you smell better. I'm talking about something that'll get the stench off of you and change your life and raise you up. Hallelujah. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. Now, I know I've shook y'all up today. I've talked about your perfume and cologne. I've talked about taking too many pills. I've talked about all kinds of stuff. But let me redirect your attention to the fact that what I was talking about is the fact that man's abilities and man's efforts fall short. They can never bring you to completion. They can never get you there. But Jesus Christ has never failed, and he will not fail to get you into the fullness of your heavenly Father. There is a full life to live, and it is the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Too many of us have been pretending. Too many people in America call themselves Christians and they're just going around splashing deodorant on the death. It's time to get healed. It's time to get rid of the death. It's time to get rid of the sin that makes you smell. Thank God he didn't just come to improve us. Jesus don't want to just improve your marriage relationships. He wants to transform them. He doesn't want to just make your children's lives better. He wants to save your children. He wants to transform your children. Father, we bow before you humbly today. And we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, God, for the fullness of your Spirit. Father, we thank you for the fullness of your Spirit. Lord, you know our lives. You know the things that are going on with us. And Lord, you know how to change it. And Father, today I am asking, Lord God, that the stench of this world be taken off of the children of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.